All right, kids, let me look around. Kids, 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 kids. All right, Anna and Oliver, and what do you got here? Bowen's here. You're not a kid, but might. All right, so young people, kids, hey, got a bunch of you here. In a few minutes, I'm gonna ask you a question, but I'm gonna tell you what it is now so you can be thinking about it, all right? Esther. Kids, here's the question. You're one. Here's question. Easy question. What is love? What is love? How would you define love? Love. What's love? I love him, her, mom, dad, pizza. What is love? What is love? That's a question I'm going to ask you to tell me. In a few minutes, okay? What is love? That's preview. What is love? Maya Madison, I'm going to ask you guys in a minute to think about what is love, okay? Madison. Whew. I'm going to ask you in a minute what love is, okay? Think about that. What is love? And you tell me in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you what's love. Saw your basketball pictures. I loved them. All right. So, last week, I did one of these jaw-dropping messages to you, and it was about judging. And I said, this whole church culture in America about don't judge is crazy. It's crazy. And we went through some passages. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we went to Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 7. And I said, you see what they're saying here? It's about judging. Very clearly says in 1 Corinthians 5, don't judge unbelievers. Don't judge outsiders. Do not. You have no business judging unbelievers. But in the church, you'd better judge each other. 1 Corinthians 5, if you don't believe me, look that one up. Jesus, then, we compared to Jesus. Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. And then he says, tell you what you do. You take the log out of your own eye first, then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. So he starts out saying, judge not that you be not judged, and that means here, that's not him judging us. I will only be judged by Jesus. But if I judge you by a standard, you're going to judge me right back by that standard. And if I'm really nasty with you, you're going to be nasty right back with me, and that doesn't make good family. So first, take this monstrous, bloody log out of my own eye, and then I can see to help you take the speck out of your eye. And then we just kept going and reading, and we're going to come back to this. We came to the part in the same chapter, just a little bit down the road, and he said, beware of false prophets. And I said, okay, everybody look at me, because I'm a preacher. I'm not a prophet, but I do speak. I do proclaim. So he's talking about the speaker. Beware, they are wolves in sheep's clothing. This is how you'll know them, by their fruit. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, not everyone who casts out demons in my name, not everyone who does great and mighty works in my name, not everyone who builds a giant church with a kids' ministry and a coffee bar, not everyone knows me. On that day, I may just say to that preacher, prophet, depart from me, I never knew you. And so I ended the message last Sunday by taking you completely off the hook and out of the picture and saying Jesus was talking to me. And I invited you to judge me. And I still invite you to judge me. Now, Paul said, don't go beyond what's written. Here, judge, don't go beyond what's written. But you better judge in the church. but don't go beyond what's written. So my invitation, here I am. Judge me. Don't go beyond what's written. You better judge me. I'm in the church. You'd better look at me and be able to see the fruit of my life. And it's not building a kingdom. It's not building a church. It's not preaching like Billy Graham Jr. It's the fruit. You better be able to look at me and see inside of me, is there a wolf under that nice little sheep's clothing? Why? Why would I ask you to judge me? Yvonne, because you said it all week. I invite you to judge me because I just want to be more like Jesus anyway. I don't have anything to hide. Judge me. If you see something in here, let's have a talk. Show me. I just want to be better anyway. Judge me. Nothing to hide. Not afraid of that word. Not afraid of that at all. Jesus sees everything anyway. Let's just get it out in the open. Judge me for your sake and mine. The whole concept in American church culture, don't judge, we don't judge, is elementary, my dear Watson. It is ridiculous. We need to massage it. We need to qualify it. We need to study it a little bit to get what we're talking about. Paul, when he wrote in 1 Corinthians, listen as I read this. I'll find it. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. But people who aren't spiritual, unbelievers, can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate or judge all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. What he just said was comparing natural people, unbelievers, to spiritual, spirit-filled people. It's no wonder, it's a no-brainer that people without the Holy Spirit can't understand the wisdom of God in the Word of God. It's no wonder they look at us and they say, that's foolish, I just don't agree, I don't believe, I don't understand it. They don't have the Spirit of God. Spiritual people get it. The Spirit helps us get it. And then he says, a spiritual person judges all things, but he himself will not be judged by others, by those outside the faith. Who's smart enough out there to instruct Christ? Who's smart enough out there? Who taught Christ? No one. But we spiritual people, we have the mind of Christ. We can look at everything and judge and evaluate everything through Christ, who is our wisdom and our righteousness. Interesting statement. Judge everything. We will judge everything through the lens of Christ. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, if you're worldly wise, if you're savvy with the ways of the world, you're successful with the ways of the world, you know how this world operates, you're wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, everything is yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. If you're wise to the ways of this world, you need to become a fool. Foolishness of Christ. The foolishness of the gospel. The ways of Christ. See things through Christ's eyes. Understand life in the world through Christ's eyes. Become wise. This may be one of the saddest portions of this scripture. I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now, you're not yet ready. You're still of the flesh. So, there it is. I mean, we got to have this good thinking to be a really strong, powerful church, not just build our kingdom, but to glorify God, to really be this church. We have got to have this mind of Christ, this thinking that goes deep, deep, deep into the Word, deep into people. You can see a wolf in sheep's clothing. You have to have this thinking. And unfortunately, speaking to this church here, he looked out and he said, you know, I really can't talk to you like I'm talking to deep spiritual people. I have to approach you as people of the flesh, as mere humans, is what he said. I have to teach you at that level. I have to approach you like I'm not even sure whether you're unsaved or saved. I mean, I have to approach you as people of the world. Or as infants in Christ. The word infants is a very cool word here. It really means non-speaking. It's a non-speaker child. You're not old enough to speak yet. You just kind of fuss and coo. You cry and coo. I mean, that's all they do. They can't speak. They can't speak about the faith. They can't speak anything. They're infants. In Christ, cry and coo, cry and coo. That's how I have to approach you, he says. Isn't that sad? I mean, I don't want this church to be that way. Come on, we're better than that. We're going to go cream of the crop here. We're small, but we're mighty. And we're going to go in it to win it. We're going deep. We're going down deep. We're going in. We're going to have the mind of Christ, the eyes of Christ, the heart of Christ, boom, in. That's what we want to be, right? That's where we are moving to, right? Don't tell me that we're infants in Christ, non-speakers, or you're not even sure. I mean, maybe we're just still of the flesh. That's not who this church is going to be. We're going deeper, deeper than that. But we've got to have this mind. We've got to have some deep thinking of Christ. The mind of Christ, that's an amazing thing. This church, and this is just everywhere, this church, this Corinthian church, he even had to teach them what real love was. They didn't understand what real love was. Fortunately for me and you, we got a great chapter of the Bible out of that in 1 Corinthians 13. Right? Love is. You know, we got it. We could turn there if you want. But he even had to teach them about love. See, they had so much sin in their church, and they were boasting and bragging about it. So they're building this massive church, this massive kingdom. They're building this thing. They're bragging about their leadership and all they have. And it says in 1 Corinthians 5 that your boasting is not good. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you boast in the Lord. And they're arrogant, he calls them, puffed up. Look at our church, man. Look at who we follow. Paul. No, Apollos. No, Peter. They're building this thing. He says, you've become rich. You're building this kingdom. 1 Corinthians 4. You're just building this thing. That's funny because us apostles look like homeless people. And you're just building this kingdom. And your boasting is not good because your kingdom is full of sin. There's immorality in there. And I really don't care about the square footage of your building. I care about the character of your people, the heart of your people. I care about the depth of your people. And he even had to teach him what real love looks like. 1 Corinthians 13. He addresses what he was just talking about. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. And he's already accused him of that. Love is not rude. Whenever you're rude, whenever you're arrogant, whenever you boast, it's not love. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. When I'm irritable, babe, it's not love. It's not resentful. Love doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. It's not funny. But rejoices with the truth. When the truth wins out, no matter how hard it is, or no matter how beautiful it is, we rejoice with the truth. Love bears all things. Love carries burdens. It's able to carry things. It's able to help each other. We carry each other's burdens. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. It never ends. Oh man, we believe, we pray. There is no one in our family. There is no one in our life. There is no one at work. We don't have hope for. We don't give up. Never give up on your family member, your co-worker, your spouse. We never give up believing someday they're going to come to Christ. Our hope never ends. This person's going to come to Christ. My love never ends. Believing and hoping in Christ. Carrying each other's burdens. They're going to come around. They're going to make it. They're going to get through this. I'm going to help you carry. I'm going to bear it with you. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Man, our Wednesday night group prays. It's so awesome. I had to teach them how to love. I had to teach them they're not even loving what they're doing in their church. So what is love? Well, you young people want to take a shot at love. Madison, what is love? Tell me what love is. Amen. Amen. Very good. You're a smart girl to go to the Bible to get the definition of love. What's love? Anna, what's love? How do you define love? What do you think love is? A bonding feeling towards things. Very good. Okay. Love bonds us. It unites us. Sure does. Anybody else? What's love? Young people, what's love? Come on, you sing about it all the time. Your favorite singers sing about love all the time. Your TV shows sing about love all the time. What is love? Who said that? Yeah. God is love? What is love? Yeah. What's love? Skylar, what's love? You're gonna love a woman someday. Come on. What is it? What's it gonna mean? Never ending. Love is never ending. Yes, people, what love is. You're gonna hear what's deep in their heart about love. You're gonna hear the cream of the crop. This is what love is to me. It's never ending. It's beautiful stuff. Isn't it a shame he had to teach a grown church really what love is? I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? Building this kingdom, he says in chapter 4, you're just building a kingdom. You become so rich. You become so wise. Everybody looks at you and goes, oh my gosh, how wonderful. And he says, let me tell you, you don't even know what love is. Our churches in America, I'm afraid, I'm afraid we fall right in here so much. We worry so much about building our kingdom, about building our building, about adding on another wing, about this great pastor, this great ministry, this great thing, and all the while in the church there's just sin everywhere, and we don't know what to do with it, so we come up with this great new philosophy. Don't judge. We don't judge here. Just drag all your stuff in here, and we're not going to touch you, not going to talk to you, not going to judge you in any way. We're just going to keep building our kingdom, building our walls, building, adding more school buses to pick up more. We're just going to keep. And I got a feeling he'd say the same thing to American church culture today. Your boasting is not good. I need to teach you what real love is. And it has to do with you. You better judge in the church. You had better evaluate. You had better approach. You had better stand by the Word of God. You better clean house. Don't just build a bigger house. Keep your house clean. Clean. Now, before I just turn the dogs loose, I've told you to start with me, and I don't want you to go farther than me. When you get really good at judging me, then we're gonna think about judging each other. So I'm your guinea pig, and you just keep all attention right here, Judge Pastor Terry. And you just bring me the Word of God and keep me on the right track, because I just want to do better anyway. But let me round this off for you just a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. I'm going to teach you a very cool word here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Right in the middle of the tongues passage, wouldn't you know? Tongues prophecy. And for our discussion, tongues just means somebody's talking in a language nobody else can understand. Okay? You call it what you want. That's what it represents for this discussion. Tongues, somebody's talking and nobody else can understand. You better hope there's an interpreter that shows up. Okay? Tongues. Or prophesying, preaching, speaking, proclaiming, like I'm doing, in words that can be understood, teaching like I'm doing. So he's already told them in this passage that speaking in tongues, if I pray in a tongue, my mind prays, but my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my mind. So he's already said that tongues, your mind is unfruitful, because not only does everybody in the place not understand what you're saying, you don't understand what you're saying. So your mind is unfruitful. Your mind's getting nothing from this in your spirit, in your soul, inside, feeling really good about things. You're doing okay. But your mind is unfruitful. And he's trying to work them through thinking about this thing. In the church, I'd rather speak 5 words in a known language than 5,000 words in a tongue. Think through this with me is what he's saying. Think through this with me. Nobody understands. I'd rather say 5 words. Is that the number? 5 words that you can understand than 5,000 that you can't. Think with me. Does this make sense? That's what he's saying to this church. Think with me what we're doing here. He comes to this verse 20. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. So, we have children here today. We have kids here today. We've heard from them. They're smart. They're good. They go to the Bible. That's smart. That's smart children. But they're thinking, they're able to process, they're able to evaluate, their ability to distinguish and to chop up real fine. It's not where a spiritually mature Christian should be. And that's what he says here. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. When it comes to evil, be infants, be non-speakers. When it comes to evil, don't worry about talking about it. Just kind of cry over it. But you don't need to be talking about it. You should be infants, crawlers, when it comes to evil. But in your thinking, be mature. Be mature. Be good thinkers. Now here's what's really cool about this. Thinking, the word thinking, be mature in your thinking. In this verse, thinking is the word phrenes. Phrenes. And it's only used here. This is the only verse he uses this. Speaking to this church, trying to get through to them, trying to tell them, think through this. Process this. Oh, that tongue's just as fun, really fun for you, isn't it? It's really beautiful for you. You feel so good inside. Look at what I can do. I mean, it's just that way. But wait a minute. Nobody, including yourself, understands what you're saying. Could you think with me a little deeper with this? Your thinking, your phrenes, needs to be mature. Our minds need to be mature. They need to be rich. So this word thinking goes way beyond just your ability to think. Just your ability to get A's and B's and C's in school. Just your ability to be able to pass that driver's license test. This is a word way deeper than just thinking. It's the actual seat of one's thinking processes. It's when you're thinking about all these things, and now you have all these thoughts, it's what you do with them. It's how you categorize them. It's this basis, it's this control panel of your thinking. I heard him preaching on this. I heard him teaching on this. I read this in a book. Here's a thought. How do I categorize it? What do I do with it? So it's more than just your ability to think. It's what you do with it. How you divide it up. He's saying, you church need to have a mature spiritual thinking ability that when you think thoughts, you're able to handle them. You're able to put them into the right box in the right place. Okay, I'll act on this one. No, don't act on this one. This one makes me mad. Okay, I better take that thought captive, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay, that thought goes here. That thought's here. Okay, now I can plan my move. We have to think deeply as believers in the Word of God. We have to be able to go into the Word of God and go, don't judge me. Oh, don't judge me. Or, don't judge. First take the massive stinking log out of your own eye. Then help your brothers and sisters. Look at that preacher. See if there's a wolf under that. I mean, you've taken your thinking in the Word of God now, and you've been able to work with it. You've been able to just add other pieces. You're going deep. You're going deep into the Word of God. You're not satisfied with just a casual over the top. No, this is deep thinking into the things of Christ. You've become a fool with the world, and you're now going deep into the wisdom found in Christ so that you can judge properly. You can judge in the church, but not out there. And out there it makes you so mad. I just want to tell them, you're going to hell. But you don't, because your deep thinking goes, no, 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 no. Bible says I'd leave them alone. Unbelievers, I have no business judging an unbeliever. But in the church, man, that guy, I'm seeing it right here, that Pastor Terry of mine, he's not doing that. It's right here. I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? How do I approach him? And so you are thinking deeply through the Word of God. Do I say something? Do I not? Do I act? How do I use this? It's deep, it's frenetic thinking. It's at the very seat, the very core of your thinking processes. You're able to categorize it. You're able to plug it in. Quiet, talk. Move, stand still. Really something that needs to be dealt with now, immediately. I need to go and move. No, I'm just going to pray about this one first. I'm going to yell at him. No, I'm just going to try and see if I can help. I'm going to write him an ugly letter. No, I'm just going to talk to him Sunday morning, see how he's doing. His friend is thinking. In the church, it's not in any way surprising to me that the church today can't do this. And so our only other option is to go, we don't judge here. Come on in. Live and act any way you want. We don't care. You're here. Put your money in the offering back there. Thank you very much for being here. We're building a new wing. Would you like to help support that? We just want to be seeker sensitive. Well, you're not being seeker sensitive according to the Bible, because I can give you a scripture that Paul says, when an unbeliever comes in and you prophesy, sound familiar? 1 Corinthians 14. If you prophesy to people that understand, if an unbeliever comes in, they hear you prophesying and they're convicted of their sin and fall on their face and worship God. That's a seeker-sensitive church that preaches the Word of God in such a way that when an unbeliever comes in, I don't go, oh, shoot, I got to dumb down my message. I go, no, I'm going to preach the Word of God clearly and understandably so that if an unbeliever comes in, it feels like I'm talking right to you, Kenny. You're talking to me. And he falls on his face because he's convicted of his sin and he worships God. That's a seeker-sensitive church. I don't think we know today in America what that means, because we're throwing everything out. Everything out that might in any way offend or upset an unbeliever. If an unbeliever comes in, we're not going to even have a cross in here anymore. We're not going to talk about Christ. I'm not going to reference the Bible. I'm just going to talk to you, kind of milk it all down, because there's unbelievers that come in here. What do they need? They need to hear the Word of God and be convicted and fall on their face and worship Him. That's what they need. We don't judge. We don't judge because I don't make anybody feel uncomfortable here. But if an unbeliever comes in, they need to be convicted of their sin and fall on their face and worship God. No, we're going to throw out the Old Testament because it's just too hard on people. Is it any wonder the Church of America today is running from this judging ability like it's the chicken pox? Get away from me. Are you still contagious? Take your judgmental self out of here. Go! And then Pew report, Barna report, the church in America knows very precious little about the Word of God. Biblically illiterate. It's too hard. It's way too hard. I can't read all that. This is way too deep. It's way too long. There's way too many words. Thank you. I got a life. Can't do it. No wonder we run from judging, flashing neon lights. In the church, you had better judge. No! We can't think deep enough to do it. We can't think. Our frenesis is not equipped. I can't look at sin in another person's life and look at the Word of God and go, think it, categorize it, plug it in. What's the best thing I can do here? I don't know what to do with it. Makes me mad. Makes you mad. Blow up, offend you. I don't know what to do with it. It's my friendness isn't working. We can't think at that deep level. That's where we're going, folks. I got to tell you right now. Get on the bus, Matt. You on the bus, buddy? We're going deep. We're going into the Word of God. We're going to exercise our friendness, our seat of our thinking and understanding, and me and you are going to be amazing. Me and you are going to be off the charts amazing because we're going to be able to talk to people that have sin, and we're not just going to be able to go, you're going to hell. We're going to restore them. We're going to restore them because that's what love is. I want to restore. I'm not here to condemn you. I can't condemn you. But I want to restore. I want to see you at full strength. I want to see you full of gas, throttled up, boom, screaming for Christ. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see you struggling. I don't want to see your family struggling. I don't want to see me struggling. Man, I'm going to put some jet fuel in you, Ted, and turn Ted loose. That is in here, by the way. Galatians chapter 6. I think Amanda read this to you. Sounds a lot like judging to me. I don't know. I've tried to play this out in my mind. I've tried to run the video in my mind of this. And I'm thinking I'd get accused of judging, John. I think somebody would accuse me of judging. Listen. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual. Not you who are of the flesh or infants, non-speakers. Not you that I was talking about in 1 Corinthians. Not you, but those of you who are spiritual, who have the Spirit of God in you and the Word of God in you, and your seat of thinking can go deep. You're not worldly wise, you're Christly wise. You spiritual people, you should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keeping watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now this is a touchy thing here. Bear one another's burdens. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 13. We bear all things. We bear one another's burdens. I'll help you carry this to get you through it. And so fulfill the law of Christ. I thought the law was done. No. It's just taken on a whole different shade of color here. It's the law of Christ. Christ has laws. This is the law of Christ. This is the law of Christ. This is the law of Christ. New Testament, the law that you and I are able to think so deeply with our frenetic thinking to take what we're thinking and what we're getting from the Word, it's the law of Christ that I take that I go deep, that I do the hard work to restore each other, to evaluate, judge who you are, what you're doing, and to take it to you, and with the skill of a surgeon, and that's in here, by the way, with the skill of the surgeon to restore each other. Not condemn you, restore. Being very careful, because this is very delicate, and I myself might get caught up in the same sin if I'm not careful and aware and sharp. This is tricky. I'm going to help you carry some of this load along. I'm going to help carry it. We're all going to just carry it. We're going to restore each other. Deep thinking. Good thinking. Good church thinking. Love. Love. My question is, Why don't we? I mean, well, you know, why don't we? Why are we in so much trouble today? We're in so much trouble today. The church is a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of judgmentalists, a bunch of this and a bunch of that. And we are running for the hills from this whole idea right here. I mean, think about this. If you see a brother or a sister caught in a transgression, two options. I don't judge. We don't judge at our church. Hey, good luck. God will help you. Or I go with the skill of a surgeon and the thinking deep down in my soul to help restore you. And somewhere in this, I've got to say, Marcia, man, how are we going to deal with this? I love you so much. How are we going to deal with this? You're caught in this, aren't you? And she's got a choice to say, don't judge me. Yeah, I'm having trouble right here. I am having trouble. What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. Your family's going to help carry your load for you, and we're going to restore you. We're going to do everything we can to restore you to full health. Why isn't that the church, big church in America today? Instead, we don't judge here. Welcome. Come on in. We've thrown all the crosses away. We don't use a Bible anymore. Come on in. What are we doing? Why? Are we lost people? Are we really just pews full of lost people? Are we fooling ourselves? I don't know. Are we just kind of in the milk of the Word? I just want to give me a daily bread. You know what I mean? I don't really don't want to go in the Word of God. My mind's lazy. I just like to play video games on my phone, and I don't want to think that much about the Bible. What is it? Is it that? Maybe we don't even have a hunger. Maybe we don't have a hunger for the meat of God's Word. I just like frozen pizza and bags of frozen French fries. A little ice cream along the way. I really don't have a taste for a steak. I'm a crawler. I'm an infant. I'm really not hungry for it, Terry. Spirit-led? Doesn't sound like it. I am so thankful today for our military. And I'm so thankful that our military isn't trained to have childlike thinking. Hey, look, it gave me a gun. Boom, boom, boom. I got that sparrow. That's not our military. Military has a battle plan. Military teaches us unity. This battalion, this corps, this troop, this soldier, this boat full of soldiers. We stick together. We got each other's back. We go into battlefield. You hear about soldiers seeing a wounded soldier over there, and he runs over and throws this wounded guy on his back and runs through fire, bullet fire, to get his fellow soldier out of harm's way. I'm so thankful what the military teaches us. We're here for our nation. They gave up their lives for a bigger cause, a big picture. This nation, that nation. And if they had childlike thinking, we'd all be gone. We'd all be speaking German today. You know what I'm saying? The military has a lot to teach us. And the church needs to be the first in line to get this lesson. When my brother is caught over there bleeding from sin, I will rush into bullet fire, throw him on my shoulders, bear his burdens, and restore him to safety. It's a bigger cause than me. There's a bigger cause than my family. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. It's called the name of Jesus. The banner over us is love, and it's Jesus. And we stick together. We got each other's back. We have a battle plan. And we come together with deep thinking. Trained, disciplined in the Word of God. Or we grab frozen pizza out of the oven. Don't judge me! That's ridiculous. I'm just going to tell you, that's absolutely the most ridiculous thing ever. And if you start to study it, you are going to agree with me. So that's where I'm taking us. In the weeks ahead, that's what we'll be studying, because I want to strive to excel to the building up of the church. And that doesn't live on candy bars and frozen pizza. Strive to excel. Strive to excel in your thinking about Christ and about the law of Christ. This is how you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. You've challenged us in your word, and we're not afraid to look at it. Lord, we are not a giant church, rich. You haven't chosen the rich and the powerful and the brilliant of this world. You've chosen us. So Lord, we as a small church, we're just ready to go wherever you take us, and we're ready to go deep into you and your thinking and your word and your truth and your beauty. Take us there. Give us grace to go there, to do this right. Lord, we want to excel at the building of your church. Pray for each one of us now. Give my church family grace to judge me, understanding of the word to judge me. I just won't be like you anyway. If that's what it takes, here I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Fun-filled, jam-packed message on judging. Me, you're off the hook, remember? You're off the hook. This is about me. I'm helping you judge me. I'm going to give you lots of good information right from the Scripture if the meat of the Word is palatable. If you're ready, come see me. Becky just reminded me that Wednesday nights we are starting to accumulate things for the homeless. We have an avenue to get it to them. We received some blankets and sleeping bags this morning that we will put aside for just homeless. I think Eldon and the youth have a project they'd like to do for little heaters for them. We have a sizable homeless crowd in Goshen right now living in tents. And we'd just like to show them a little bit of love of Christ. We are not too good to help others. And if you have something, I would tell you in particular, men are in need. If you have a men's coat, large size coat, large size something of men, they are primarily the ones living in tents in the woods right now. So if you need more information on that, we can point you to a Facebook page of a person in Goshen who's really interested in that as well. So we're not the only ones, but if you have anything, please please bring that. We'd like to help them. Next week, Thanksgiving dinner. I'm looking forward to going off my diet with you. So let's do that. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Cornerstone family in Christ. I love this family, Lord, but not as much as you do. Man, we love each other here. Lord, we love you. Our hearts ache for you. Our hearts are hungry for you. Lord, may we live like you told us to live and shine brighter than anyone could ever imagine. In Jesus' name, amen.